I did it again. Katie Henry is our engineer today, along with Riley Woodford. We're thankful they're here because we don't think we could be here without them. Robin is in the other room. We're also thankful for her. It's a very thankful show today. Funds for the production of Sunday at Noon were provided by the KUAC Public Affairs Programming Fund. Its contributors include the University of Alaska Fairbanks, College of Liberal Arts, and Dirk Lumertsheim. Thank you all. Today on Sunday at Noon, my guest, though, is the one and only Carla Tonella. Carla, who is the manager for radio, along with John Adams, is in charge of our programming at KUAC-FM. We're going to spend the next hour with you, we hope. We hope you will dial the phone and talk to us as we talk to you about programming for KUAC. We're going to start out talking about Sunday at Noon, this being it, and it being a program that only recently got started on Sundays at Noon and for KUAC. We're also raising money for KUAC during festival. The number to call is 474-6234. I didn't even need to see the number to say that.
But we're going to confuse you because we're going to have two phone numbers today.
Oh, yeah. Got to get complex on this Sunday.
Yeah, maybe you better get a pencil.
There's one to call us, and there's one to call KUAC's volunteers so you can contribute your money to KUAC's coming year, make your pledge for the coming year. That number is 474-6234. And now, so you'll have a totally different voice to get the number to call us. Carla, the number, please.
Our call-in number, if you want to call and talk about programming on KUAC radio, I can't address TV, but if you want to talk about programming on radio, please call us at 474-5044. That's our unlike me, that's our normal call-in number, 474-5044. And I'd like to answer any questions that you have or find out what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to see changed, why we can or can't change it, and some of the plans that we have coming up later in the year. And in the meantime, we'd like to give you a little idea of what goes into putting together a program. Susan McGinnis has been doing Sunday at Noon since the first part of January. But as a matter of fact, Susan, you were working a long time before January trying to get ready for Sunday at Noon.
My leash was loosed, so to speak, sometime late October or early November, I think. KUAC decided that it was all right. We didn't really have our funding together at that point. It's kind of a fund-as-you-go program, Sunday at Noon. But it was determined that the risk would be all right to go ahead for a program called Sunday at Noon. The design for it was loose. It was to be a public affairs program concentrating on the interior of Alaska. And what I did to get started was to sit down, first of all, and to think about all the things I had curiosities about here in Fairbanks. I've lived here for about 17 years, and my curiosities strayed from such subjects as, is AIDS going to come to Alaska? You know, will Alaskans have to cope with such problems, such physical problems as AIDS, as we have had to cope with hepatitis B, which has run rampant from time to time through rural populations? Hepatitis B was another physical, social problem I was interested in looking at. My mind strayed up to the Geophysical Institute, and I wondered what folks were doing up there. My mind wandered around the borough and the city, and what I eventually ended up doing was to call friends, people up at the Geophysical Institute, people involved in the borough, people involved in state politics and state issues, and ask them what they thought. That took, oh, probably about 3 weeks. I think I probably talked to 20 people and came up with ideas for 50 or 60 shows, little short things that said earthquake science, possible guests, or a little something that said, are we immune to AIDS, possible guests. And then I'd have a little few lines under it that it would indicate to me what kinds of questions I'd like to ask. And then after that, each show got more and more specific and required incredible, it has seemed to me, amounts of research to get it going.
There's another thing a little bit unusual about the way we're trying to put together a Sunday at Noon. I don't know if any of you know this or if you've even noticed, but when all the budget cuts happened, we lost our producing staff.
Mm-hmm.
And when our manager went off to sunnier climates in California, John and I have taken over the jobs that we already had, plus we're splitting the manager's job between us. So that doesn't leave us much time with producing programs either, at least not directly, but it does leave me time to produce producers. And Riley and Katie are a part of that process. Riley is a volunteer, and Katie is a part-time volunteer and part-time student intern. We have another intern who is learning to do news, and Katie is learning to do features and mix music. And part of that is trying to get Susan McGinnis paid somehow to do this program. And since there was no money, part of what Susan and I had to do, mostly Susan up till now, was to go out and raise money for it. And we haven't completed that process, but we got enough money together to start.
I think this is a project with a lot of heart. I mean, I think that's the first thing about it. 4 or 5 years ago, you had me on, and that was... Oh, we have a caller. Shall we do that first, Katie? That's nicer, isn't it? Caller, are you there? And then we can talk about other things. Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. The first question is about the possibility of, and I don't know the details of how radio works, but the possibility of doing some of the programs, not necessarily about local affairs, but locally, and then selling them to defray the cost of... the production, because, like you say, the local ones are most expensive.
Right. What sort of programs did you have in mind?
Well, you know, like such as, I can imagine something like John Adams, the new music, when he had that, would have been marketable to other public radio stations.
Okay, can I stop you there and answer you, because I've got a good answer for that, and it's something that we, in fact, were working on. John Adams was going to distribute the new music nationally. He went through a series of negotiations, and it was going to be distributed by, if John hears me and I'm wrong, he can correct me, but I believe it was going to be distributed by American Public Radio, which was saying quite a bit about the quality of the program. The problem was that the KUAC studios and the production equipment is not very good, and we cannot produce programs in the studio that are of suitable quality to send out nationally. So in order to produce that program and send it out nationally, John was going to have to travel to, probably it was going to be the station KPBS in Los Angeles, I think, but some California station, or to go back east in order to get good enough equipment and facilities to produce a program that was acceptable to American Public Radio or National Public Radio standards. So that is the problem there. And a lot of times those programs that are produced for national distribution are not necessarily paid for by the stations who pick them up. It takes quite a while, and a lot of production has to go into it. First, you have to have your first 13 weeks finished. You have to have the money up front to pay for the satellite distribution, which can cost $100, $150 per program. And you have to sell the program. You have to market it. So you've got to have advertising and phone calls to stations and other means to get the stations convinced to carry it. Are you still on the line?
Yeah, I see that there are those difficulties then. I didn't know that. I mean, it sounded great over the radio here. I didn't know that there were even higher standards nationally that would prevent the program from appearing.
Our primary problem is our two things. Our production board, which is not a very high quality and is very old, and the biggest problem that we have is the studio from which Susan and I are talking now. And if you will listen carefully, especially, well, it's a little hard with music underneath us, but if you would listen in the quiet places, at least, you can hear this air handler sound underneath us, and that's just totally unacceptable to National Public Radio.
Carla, there's a hope to rectify this when KUAC moves into its new building in 5 years or so, right? My friend John's been talking to me about this, one of the architects at the university.
Well, in 5 years, it's not that we move into a new... It's not that we move into a new building in 5 years. In 5 years, we get added to the budget request that the university puts out for capital budget. So I would suspect that new building is a long, long way away for KUAC. 5 years is a long time in radio terms.
No reason to not hope. Have you other thoughts, caller?
Yeah, I have one other question, and that was relating to, I know some stations rely heavily upon volunteers to actually do some of the programs.
Yes.
And I'm curious where KOAC is going to go in that direction, and using volunteers like is done with any old time. Whether that is any less expensive.
Yes and no. In many terms, it's less expensive. It's certainly less expensive to have Katie and Riley, who are generously donating their time to engineer this program, than it is to employ two engineers to get this program live on the air. And we are trying to get more volunteers in and get them trained and have a volunteer program established. And that's something that I've been trying to do for the last 5 years. And it's a bit like money. If you have volunteers, more volunteers come. So that you have to begin to create a volunteer culture. And it's something that's new to KUAC. Volunteers do take a great deal of time to train, and you've got to have enough free time to figure out what they can do and have projects ready for them to do, unless they're coming in with their own project. And then you've got to have a place to put it on the air, and you've got to know that volunteer in terms of a music program, for instance, Funk Roots is a new volunteer program. Ray Funk has volunteered to do that. We've been trying to get Ray Funk on the air for a couple of years. He's been trying to find time in his schedule where he knew he could make that commitment week after week after week. You know, we've got it on the air, and people are becoming familiar with it and liking it very much.
And with Ray, this is the case where he brings an incredible expertise.
Yeah, that's the big advantage, you know, of especially volunteer music programmers, is that the volunteers often have record collections far superior to KUAC's if you're talking about a relatively narrow band. I mean, Ray's music's on in what he calls funk roots, that is gospel and other root
derivations from there.
Yeah, root musics from which more popular forms have grown. We couldn't begin to match what Ray has. Ray's got a record library bigger than KUAC's, just in that one area.
If we've stimulated interest, when does Ray's program come on?
I'm glad you ask. It's on Monday night at 9 o'clock from 9 to 10. And if you haven't heard it yet, it's very enjoyable. And Ray is top notch. He's one of the primary experts in black gospel quartets, for instance. He's one of the best experts in the country, and has written many articles, and is very well respected and known all over the country.
So, see, in about 5 years, we might just be ready. Well, you stayed with us for a while. Caller, any last question?
No. Thanks very much, though, for the information.
We're glad to have you here, and glad to have your questions.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. If you want to join us on the phone, the number to call is 474-5044. That you can talk to Carla Tonella or to me. I'm Susan McInnes. If you want to make a contribution to KUAC's coming year, pledge your contribution, call 474-6234. Boy, am I a whiz at numbers today. Before our caller called, Carla had asked me about investment of time in Sunday at noon, and the amount of money she was talking about it takes to produce it. Well, my response was that Sunday at noon started with a lot more heart than money, and it's continued to. We had figured that it would pull about 15 hours a week off of my schedule. In a recent week, I think, but this is an unusual week, I interviewed Governor Walter Hickel, and I did about 90 hours, I think, of... That's an estimate. I didn't have a chance to look at my date book today, but I think about 90 hours worth of preparation. So I had to go back and read Klaus Noske and Dr. Slotnick's book, A History of Alaska. Also Walter Hickel's book. Also spoke with 9 or 10 people in the field of economics, gas exploration, oil exploration, history, political science, and the like, which is a wonderful thing for me. I mean, I feel like I have have immersed myself in my subject, especially someone like Walter Hickel. But the same with when we did the AIDS show with Cheryl Kilgore. I went back to all my collected articles about AIDS and went to the library to get the latest books on AIDS and sat and read, plus talked to doctors and people at the hospital and people in counseling and therapy. And that's being, I think, probably the bedrock of the show, is that heart to put it together. We have another caller on the line.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hi. Sunday at noon.
Yes, I have a few things to talk about with you. First off, I'd like to encourage you, and we've enjoyed KOAC for a long time, but we do have a few things we'd like to talk to you about. The first is we'd like to encourage you as much as you possibly can to increase any kind of local programming that you've been doing. Especially, I think it would be nice to see some kind of local news program, even if it's a five-minute spot 5 days a week in the morning or in the evening, just reporting on things that are going around Fairbanks news-wise, because that's the one thing that we don't get a whole lot of on Alaska News Nightly. And I think it might be something that would be really good to have on the air and would add to any other kind of news coverage that you've got.
You're absolutely right, and we are going to do what we can. I wonder if you have any idea what that might cost KUAC to have a news department so that we can do that.
I understand, and I have no idea whatsoever, but one other question I have for you is, I noticed that in the last year or two that KUAC has gone to more and more canned programming.
Not true.
And through especially the National Public Broadcasting System and the American Public Radio. And I know that that is very expensive. Is it possible to defray some of that cost by cutting back on some of the canned programming? For instance, the morning program Performance Today, I know you used to have, for instance, Ron Clark running that program, and he would intersperse things with interviews and so forth.
Okay, can you stop there so that I can, otherwise I'll forget, and there'll be too many points for me to address, so you can come back with the rest of your question later. First, I don't believe that it's true. I can't prove that right now because I haven't done the tally, but as a matter of fact, we have the same amount of local programming, at least that we've had in the last couple of years, and that's with a reduced staff. We lost two staff people, two programming staff people in the last round of budget cuts. You were asking about if that isn't cheaper to do local. Let me explain how Performance Today, Morning Edition, and All Things Considered, all those programs work. At least how they have worked up to this year. We pay $94,000 a year, and that figure will be going up. But last year we paid $94,000 in membership dues to National Public Radio. For that $94,000, we get some services. That means training, legal services. They pay our copyright so that we can play music without having to negotiate our own copyright things and that sort of thing. In addition, all of the programs that come from NPR are then free. So it doesn't make any difference in terms of cost whether we air only Morning Edition or if we air Morning Edition, Performance Today, All Things Considered, Weekend Edition, Mountain Stage, and a number of other programs. Does that partially answer your question?
Yes, it does. I guess I understand your problem, and that's why we're sending you money. I guess the only other thing I would encourage, if possible, is at any possible place you can break into Performance Today and include, as you have been doing, but I would like to see more, local interviews, local news clips, whatever. To be very frank with you, when the announcer on that program comes back and tells me who's playing the symphony in Pittsburgh tonight, it doesn't make any difference to me. I would just as soon hear more about what's going on around town.
I understand that, and we do tell you everything that's going on in town in a performance or cultural realm that we know about at that program. We've not missed any of that. And I think, you know, when we first started airing Performance Today, There were these national sort of like what's happening spots. They were a minute long that told you, you know, what sympathy was playing in what town and what art exhibit was happening in what town. That no longer airs. And in fact, in those 1 minute breaks in that program, we now break away to give you our own what's happening. And the only other times that you hear what's playing in, say, Cleveland is when they are bringing you the music. And one of the advantages of a performance today there, at least a lot of the music people feel that way, is that they are hearing the live music that's happening all over the country.
Okay, well, I guess you're doing what you can. And like I said before, as much as possible, I would like to see more local news, music, whatever.
We're trying to do that, and I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but in the last, since January, we have gotten rid of 5 taped programs in favor of our own morning concert with Sandra Chaffin, who is producing the morning concert. Maybe the reason you don't notice it is because Sandra's getting so good at it that it sounds like a continuation of performance today, because she's getting in there and choosing really exciting music, because the music is coming out of the own love that she has for it. And she's not spending much time talking about it, but when she says something, you're learning something new that you probably didn't know before, but it's sounding so slick that you probably didn't even know that was local.
Well, that's good. I'm delighted to hear it. I don't always have a chance to listen all morning through to the radio, but I think that's great. And more music, less talk, that's just great.
And we want to move towards that same sort of thing. I'm not sure how long it will take us, but one of the goals that I have for this year is to do the same thing in the afternoon, so that those afternoon concerts are no longer taped programs, but they are locally produced classical music programming.
I appreciate that. I think that's a great move. Thank you very much.
Thank you, caller. Thanks for calling.
Carla, some months ago, you started working out the economics of developing a full-fledged news department at KUAC. And I remember you saying that the figures were immediately prohibitive, but slowly possible in the short term. I have 2 questions, but I'm hoping that they're questions people in the audience might have. One is, how would you like to create a news staff, if you were able to, on KUAC? And the second one is probably just one of those things they call a shill question. You are doing something about it now, aren't you? We have a fellow down at the borough who's bringing in...
Right. Yeah. Mike Napoliotis is walked in the station several months ago, maybe almost a year ago, and walked in as a volunteer. And we began training Mike. Mike is blind, if you don't know that. And he wanted to be a disc jockey, and there were so many restrictions to so many things that are specific to sighted people, at least the way a radio station is set up. It would be prohibitively expensive to get special equipment so that he could do that. And he wanted to be on the air, and he had a nice voice and a drive. And so we started him down at the Borough Assembly meetings, hosting the Borough Assembly. And now he comes in after the Borough Assembly, and he is in training with Robin, who is our board op today and our news person, if you will, on staff. And she's working with him and training him so that at least we can get the Borough Assembly meetings wrapped up, and so that you will get a report on Monday morning after a Borough Assembly meeting has happened.
Now, how about the long haul? I mean, I know it's expensive, but what are you looking forward to doing?
Before I get to that, let me also talk a little bit about how we have tried to increase the local news presence without a news staff. Now, there's one thing that many of you don't know, and that is that our announcers work at a lot of jobs. They don't just sit here and make announcements. And at many radio stations, the stations are more and more automated, and all an announcer has to do, and sometimes there's not even a live announcer. There's a classical music station in San Francisco that has had an announcer on the air for several years, who's been dead for several years. So our announcers are the primary people responsible for doing all of the recordings of the network programs. They are trying to produce programs. They are going through the news wire. And as a matter of fact, you're getting just about the same news that you get on other radio stations in town, because everybody gets the AP wire, which is the only wire service available with Alaskan news, and trying to put together weathercasts and newscasts. And what we've increased is trying to reuse some of the material that comes at Alaska News Nightly, so that you have some local, if at least statewide, presence with actualities in the stories. And that takes quite a bit of work to do and to fit it into the programming. What we want to do in the long term, and we've been talking with our new general manager, Bruce Smith, and he feels, I think, the same way that I do, is in the long term, we want to add a news department. What that would take would be a minimum of 3 people on the news staff. Otherwise, it's not worth doing. You know, Barnaby Dow works out of KUAC. He works for Alaska Public Radio, not for us, but we give him space and equipment to use. He works all day, and Barnaby's a hard worker. He works all day, and he produces one news story. Well, one news story does not a newscast make. And it's a very labor-intensive, very expensive to do news. And if we added 3 people to our staff, which, of course, we can't do at this point in time, those people would also need facilities, equipment, desks, phones. If you're running a news department in a station, all of the phone traffic goes up, so that the phone receptionists would have more work to do. The accountant would have more work to do. They would use more tape. They would need more equipment and specialized equipment for a news department. And I sat down and figured out the startup cost would probably be in the $300,000 range, and probably about $150,000 in addition to what we now do in order to have a newscast. And for that, we would get 15 minutes of news stories a day.
Which would probably be all right for Fairbanks for right now if we had $300,000, right?
Right.
All right. Sorry.
And we could repeat that, but I mean, that's essentially, there would be about 15 minutes of fresh news stories that didn't come off the wire, mm-hmm. or from some other news service, but
news of Fairbanks,
news,
and the interior.
News that where mm-hmm. somebody went out and interviewed the newsmakers in town and did the interviews and so forth.
Now, I hate to ask you to put your thumb up in the air and catch the wind. Do you think, well, she's doing it right here in the studio, folks, there's no wind.
Maybe.
Do you think
I
we could do this in a couple of years? Is it a dream, or is it a possibility?
I don't know. You know, I just don't know.
Okay. Well, she's been working on this, and Bruce Smith is now on as our new general manager, and so Carl and Bruce will be talking about it. While you folks are making your contributions on this last day of festival, you might think ahead to possible news on KUAC in a couple of years and make a little higher pledge. That number is 474-6234. If you'd like to get in on this conversation with Carla Tonella from KUAC-FM, call us at 474-5044. Katie Henry is waiting to pick up the phone and say good afternoon to you. She's waving at me through the window. Hello, Katie. The number is 474-5044.
Okay, we have a call, and we'll take that as soon as Katie gets them connected here. And I remind you that we are in the last day of festival, and we are trying to earn enough money to just hold the line. Our programming costs, just as they are, as the schedule is in your March program guide, to hold that line, we need to make as much as we made last year and a little more. That little more is about $45,000 more for radio. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Sunday at Noon. Can you hear us?
We can hear you.
I can hear the phone line. Can you hear us at all? Katie, can you check back into that one and see if they're still there, or can we? Katie's checking in with us. If you'd like to call us, we're sure the phone will work. The number is 474-5044. You're listening to Sunday at Noon right now. My guest today is Carla Tonella. Katie can't find that person. All right, they went away.
They just hung up, yeah.
And the phone number to call is 474-5044. If you called a second ago and couldn't get through to us, dial it again, 474-5044.
If you're curious about how the comments are going so far in Festival, I can give you the results, at least for the top six programs. And curiously enough, they are all talk programs except for one. And they are, all things considered, at the top, then Morning Edition, and then What Do You Know? And then after What Do You Know comes Sergeant Preston, and then Radio Reader is number five. And number six is the program Thistle and Shamrock, the Irish music program that you hear on Friday afternoons at 4.
It's very interesting that a lot of people who call during Festival last year and this year will say, more music, less talk, and yet the top-ranked programs are what we think of as talk shows, news and information programs.
Sure, but I think that a lot of times when people say that, they don't, they aren't necessarily, of course some are, but they don't necessarily mean to refer to the programs per se, but they would like to have a lot less talk within their music programs.
Music programs.
Yeah.
I was an offender, and sometimes still can be an offender on that, and trying to quell my gift of gab in the early mornings. I am... Hello, folks. There are folks here taking a tour. Hi, guys. Good morning. Good afternoon. Nice to see you. Everyone waves. You and your radio can't see that, but people are taking a tour of KUAC. 474-5044 is the number to call. Carla, the future of programming at KUAC, what are you thinking about this year?
Well, you know, Sergeant Preston has been on for, it will be, will have been on now for 2 years in June, and there are only 52 programs available. The reason there are only 52 programs available is because when these companies that are resurrecting the old radio programs get them together, they have to negotiate rebroadcast rights with all of the actors and the other principals involved in the program, the writers, mm-hmm. producers, and so on. And
That's 40 years old. Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And as you can imagine, that's a difficult process. And there are two or three sources throughout the country that provide old radio programs, and there is only one of them that offers Sergeant Preston. And so they have 52 programs, and that's all that's available. And we are now in the reruns, and quite frankly, this year I've begun to get complaints about the reruns. Mm. People are, you know, they've heard the story, and they don't want to hear it again. And if there were anything I could do to get more Sergeant Preston, I'd certainly keep it there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to remove Sergeant Preston when this year of reruns runs out, and hold it back for a year or two, mm-hmm. so that people have a chance to either forget or a different audience comes in to hear them. And then when they do go back on the air, they'll go back on at a different time, because not everybody listens to the radio at Saturday morning. A lot of people do, but mm-hmm. A lot of other people would find that kind of programming more enjoyable and more accessible sometime in the evening, in early evening. So, and too busy to talk now, which has turned out in a very short period of time to gather a rather large audience. That was a 13-week series. That's mm-hmm. all there is. And
wonderful series. I hope Connie Goldman keeps interviewing people.
Well, you know, she does a 13-week series about once a year. So I'm sure that she'll go out and get her funding and do another 13-week series. And when she does, we'll put that on the air. But in the meantime, I'm too busy to talk now. Conversations with Creative People Over 70 only has a couple more weeks to go, and it ends when March ends. And then we're going to start a 13-week series of programs called Thinking About Drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a very powerful program, a fascinating program. It's the most comprehensive program about alcohol that's ever been made for radio. 13 programs, half-hour documentaries about all aspects of alcohol. And I think you'll find it fascinating and useful. When that runs out, it'll be time to introduce Car Talk. But let me
caller on the
yeah,
line. Can we do Car Talk after that?
Sure.
Hello, caller. Can you hear us? Hello.
Oh, hi, you're on the air.
You're on the air.
We can hear you breathing. All you have to do is talk.
If you hear my voice, it's you I'm talking to. Can you talk back to us?
Hi, Bruce.
How about the second caller? We'll try and get that first one. Hello,
hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Are you speaking to, have you got me on the air?
I'm speaking to you exactly. Okay. This is Sunday at noon.
I can hear you through my radio, but can't hear you through my telephone.
Oh. Well, speak to us anyway.
All right. I remember a program that was done in about 1982 that was a quiz show format for political candidates. A series that ran for the local elections.
Oh, that was on television.
Yeah, that was a wonderful series of just a wonderful, innovative format. do you think there would be a possibility of repeating that type of format?
With the number of complaints that we got about that program, I think it's highly unlikely.
Is that right? Was that from the candidates or from your listenership?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that question.
I recall that there was some controversy at the time in the newspaper.
Oh, I see. Who was making the controversy? Well, some of the candidates didn't like it. They felt that it wasn't serious enough for the seriousness of what they were up to, and some of the viewers didn't like it also. But we did get a significant amount of negative feedback from that program, and everybody just sort of jumped back like their fingers were burned. So I doubt if that particular format will be tried again.
Well, for my part, I thought it was just exceptionally informative and was just a great effort on the part of the station to take things that have some dryness to them and not appeal to everybody. But I thought it was a good attempt, and you should be complimented on it.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I think we may not go back to another quiz format, or actually it was a game show format, but I can assure you that the election coverage this year is going to be just as informative. It may not be as fun, but it will be informative.
Well, I really enjoy the radio station particularly, and listen all the time, so keep up the good work.
No, thank you very much, and thanks for calling.
We have another caller on the line. If you'd like to get in on this conversation with Carla and with me, call 474-5044. Caller, are you there?
Hi, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, indeed.
Yes, I
can't hear you through the phone. I hear you on the radio.
Try potting up number four, Riley.
This is Frank Foster. An earlier caller expressed a desire for more local programming, specifically out of the record library.
Yes, sir.
And I'd simply like to add my support to that sentiment. I very much like Morning Concert with
Sandra Chaffin.
The name escapes me.
Sandra Chaffin.
Sandra Chaffin, yes.
Right.
And I was very pleased to hear a few minutes ago that you plan to do this in the afternoon.
Yes, that'll be a fine addition to the afternoon, we think. Thank you for your comments. Are there any other kinds of music or thoughts that you'd like to see here on our radio station?
Well, it comes to mind now. I heard that Bob and Ray was doing a series this year. Do you know anything about that?
I do know that they're doing it, and I do know that we chose not to carry it because it was too expensive.
Oh, I understand that.
Ah, too bad.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
If you'd like to get in on this conversation, call us at 474-5044. Carla Tonella is my guest on Sunday at noon today. Caller, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Patty, and I
Patty.
I don't want to hog too much time here, but it's Sunday at noon, and I'd sort of like you to talk about Sunday at noon. I think it's wonderful that we have a format now where we get local experts on a wide variety of topics, and of course I've always felt that a lot of interesting people pass through Fairbanks and not everybody gets a chance to be exposed to them, so I think that's a wonderful service. Would you like to talk about that? I'll hang up.
Patty. This is, if you're just tuning in to Sunday at Noon today, Patty Kostelic is our caller. She was the host of Home Fires for a couple of years on KUAC. It was a wonderful program that I certainly learned a lot from, and I haven't had a chance to tell you that lately, Patty, so I can give you my compliment over the air.
Patty, while we're on the subject of local programming, can you tell people how much time you spent producing Home Fires?
Oh, a lot of hours. It was like a part-time job. some weeks were easier than others, depending on whether I had any information on the topic. But when I was going to do a program on hockey, boy, I had to head to the library.
That's so, all of a sudden, you notice how little you know, don't you?
Yeah, and you really do a disservice to your guests if you aren't prepared to help them talk about their subject to the best advantage.
Right.
And it takes a little to get used to radio. So it's a great thing that the volunteer guests do to come in and expose themselves to the whole audience.
Oh, they do a wonderful job and a wonderful service. That the number of people who are articulate and have expertise and who have dreams and ideas and thoughts in this town are legion. And it's grand. I feel honored to have them on the radio for the most part, as I know you did.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to this Wally Hickel series.
I think you're going to find it fascinating. I don't want Susan to talk about this. I don't want to talk about it because Susan did it. And I was sitting there listening to it, and so I know what the listener experience is going to be. And particularly the two-part series on Wally Hickel's life and how he fits into the history of Alaska. He was brought up here by the College of Liberal Arts as part of the Living History series.
Alaska's Living History.
Right.
For people
and
who don't
fascinating.
Know, let me tell you quickly, for people who don't know what happened here with Walter Hickel, he did come up for College of Liberal Arts, and we had three interviews with him. I sat down last Monday to do an hour-long interview just on the Yukon Pacific proposal, which is to bring gas out of Prudhoe Bay, take it down to Valdez via a pipeline running nearby the Alyeska oil pipeline, and then feed it out into the water via ship and hopefully take it to what he hopes will be his market in Japan. That interview, which was just on the gas line, will be running on April 17th. We'll tell you about this as shows go on, so you don't have to write it in your book. In May, the two-part show, which is on Walter Hickel, Alaskan, essentially, this man who has been very much part of the fabric of Alaska's history, will begin, I hope, on May 15th, and then on May 22nd, we'll run the second part. I sat down for that two-hour interview with Governor Walter Hickel and University of Alaska Fairbanks historian Klaus Naske, and we had a very interesting conversation beginning when Walter Hickel was a little boy in Kansas, and then brought him all the way up via the Inland Passage, via our radio program, to Seward and then to Anchorage, through his time fighting for statehood, through his time as governor of the state, and then through his time as Secretary of the Interior. I wished very much, as the last minutes of that last hour wound down, that I would have had another hour to speak of Walter Hickel and to speak to Walter Hickel, because I think he has ideas for Alaska's future, and we didn't get to those.
And it doesn't really matter whether you agree or disagree with Walter Hickel. I think you will find him to be a fascinating human being, and it's always interesting to find out how people came to be the people that they are, and it's also fascinating to find out how the particular personalities influence the progress of an entire state.
If you'd like to listen to a man who is himself an exercise in optimism, you will be interested in listening to Walter Hickel. He is an all-time optimist. Patty, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
I want to thank you for doing this.
I agree with you. That is one of the rare opportunities that local radio programming offers us, and I felt very privileged the whole time I did the show to have an opportunity, instead of passing people at receptions or crowded areas, to really sit in a quiet room and have a very detailed, in-depth conversation with someone about their experiences and expertise, and that and Sunday at Noon certainly follows and improves on that tradition. I think it's just wonderful.
Thank you, Patty.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling.
We have another caller. If you'd like to get in on this conversation, 474-5044. Carla Tonella is here with me. I'm Susan McInnes with Sunday at Noon. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
This is very strange, talking to the radio.
Oh, please talk to your radio.
Right.
It might even talk back.
I was real pleased to hear that Thistle and Shamrock was so well-loved in Fairbanks, because we certainly love it. And my husband and I often fight over who's going to pick up the kids from school, because one of us wants to listen to it. And so we've kind of sort of taped it every now and then, just because sometimes neither one of us are here. And I'm just real pleased that, you know, something like that is in Fairbanks. I was real curious to know how much does it cost, and how did we, you know, find out about it?
Sure.
It's been on the air for a long time.
Got your numbers on that, Carl?
Yeah, I do. Thistle and Shamrock is one of those programs that comes to us from American Public Radio. Now, in the past, our membership to American Public Radio has cost us $5,000 a year. That's going up this year. It'll be $5,635 in the next fiscal year. And then in addition to that, Thistle and Shamrock, there is a relatively small charge for, and that's $525. So it costs $525, but without investing $5,635 into American Public Radio, we wouldn't have the rights to air it.
It might be timely for me to say if you'd like to make a contribution or pledge a contribution to KUAC FM and TV, if you're thinking of Thistle and Shamrock and Caller, I'm not singling you out, I promise. But if anyone listening would like to, give a call to 474-6234 and you can pledge to the program of your choice.
And for those of you who are Thistle and Shamrock fans, let me tell you that we have some terrific St. Patrick's Day specials that they're going to be on, of course, St. Patrick's Day, which is March 17th. And
this coming Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. This coming Thursday. And they include at 10 o'clock in the morning, Tunes and Tales of Erin, which is a sound portrait of traditional music of Ireland, and that will feature stories and songs and the history and tradition of Ireland, and it blends oral history and musical field recordings with early and contemporary recordings by outstanding traditional musicians. And then at 2 o'clock, Relativity in concert. Relativity is one of the more exciting Irish bands with Michael O'Donnell and his sister Triona and Johnny Cunningham and his brother Phil. And then following that at 4 p.m. In the place where Thistle and Shamrock is, a special called A Celtic Sojourn with Brian O'Donovan. He's hosting two of those programs, the morning one and the afternoon one. And he hosts a look at immigration as it dealt with the Irish traditional music from songs which predate the Great Famine, the Great Potato Famine, which sent the first wave of Irish over here, through contemporary ballads and modern-day songs, too. So if you're into Irish music, Thursday, March 17th is the day to do it.
I guess we don't pick up the kids from school that day.
Just leave the kids there, home. It'll be fine.
Call in sick.
We'll send someone over. We hope you enjoy the Celtic music on that day and always on Thursdays at 4. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
If you'd like to join this conversation, join us at 474-5044. Carla Tonella is on the air to talk about programming on KUAC. Hello, caller. You're with us. Can you hear me talk to you?
I think if people are out there having trouble hearing us, for some reason it's not going out of our phones into people's phones very well. So I think you may have to leave your radio on a little bit, not so loud that we get feedback. But
and if you hear me say, yeah. Are you there? And you're on the phone, say, sure. Is anyone there? I think we've lost that one, Katie.
We can hear the phone line, but apparently they can't hear us and they don't know that they're on yet. Or they got tired and went out to get a sandwich while they were waiting to get on the air.
Well, I said goodbye to them with my finger on the release button. So 474-5044 is the number to call to talk with Carla Tonella about general programming at KUAC. If you have thoughts about topics or guests you think should be presented on Sunday at noon. I'm working on May, June, and July programming at the moment, which is to say when I get home and my computer switches back on. So if you have ideas for programs you'd like to hear, guests you'd like to hear, subjects you'd like to hear about on Sunday at noon, give us a call and let us know what those are. 474-5044.
And don't forget to call KUAC's festival number, which I'm not going to tell you right now because I don't want to get you confused. But don't forget to call KUAC's festival number the next time we get back on the air and beg you to do that.
We have a highly intellectual audience here. They can do this.
We have a caller. Let's try this one.
Hello, you're on the air with KUAC. Hello, you're on the air.
Sergeant Preston on the radio.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I beg your pardon?
I popped in right in the middle. Can you start your sentence again?
I was saying, in light of the imminent loss of Sergeant Preston from the radio programming,
yes, sir.
I would like to offer my strongest support to radio drama as part of the KUAC programming.
Great. Do you listen on Thursday nights?
Pardon me?
Do you listen on Thursday nights to radio movies?
Yes.
Oh, good.
How about Mystery Theater?
Mystery Theater come Friday evenings, to me, offer such a wide variety of entertainment for basically for kids of all ages, adults of all ages, that just simply can't be found elsewhere in the Fairbanks area.
Well, I not only agree with you, but that's the other goal that I have for this year, is to find a way and a place to put some more radio drama in. And I want to put in a mixture of old radio, because I think it's wonderful not only for kids, and actually it's good for those of us who grew up with it. It takes us back to the days when we sat enthralled in front of a radio set and didn't have a TV set to stone out on. But it's very good for children too, because it's so active. It activates an imagination that television doesn't. So we think that it's going to help build a future audience for radio if we can bring more programs like Sergeant Preston to the air. So that's what I'm going to try to do this year. I want to bring in old radio, and I want to bring in more modern drama, because drama is, well, it might be too strong a term to say it's going through a comeback, but there is a growing interest in radio drama.
There certainly is, and I think there will be a comeback. Thank you, caller. Any other thoughts?
No, that's just about it, except thank you very kindly for the entertainment.
Oh, you're welcome. We do our best here.
Bye.
Another caller on the line. If you'd like to call us, we've got 10 minutes left here on Sunday at noon. The number is 474-5044. Caller, you're on the line.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, you were just talking about Sergeant Preston. That, is there any chance of getting something like The Lone Ranger or The Shadow or Chicago Blackie?
You bet. You bet. It's just a matter of choosing which one. I mean, there are available to us The Lone Ranger, the Green Hornet.
The Shadow? Is that one of your ones on the list?
The Shadow is one of them. I guess
I'd rather listen to something like that than the Click and Clack Brothers, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, I think we're going to be listening to Click and Clack, but we will also be trying to listen to The Lone Ranger or one of the, perhaps, actually what I like to do is buy a variety package so that we can get exposed to a lot of the old radio programs, but I think I want to put them on at a different time in the early evening.
Oh, okay. The other thing I was wondering is, like on the TV programs, whenever they have specials, like the Ray Charles specials, they always come on so late at night. You know, they start at 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
You're going to have to call Greg Ruff, who is the program manager for TV, and talk to him about that. I can't address TV.
Oh, okay. You're just for radio then. Just,
right.
Okay.
Just through your ears today. Through your eyes, talk to Greg. Actually, on Monday would be good, although he's here now. He's probably on the TV at the moment if you want to talk to him today while the thought's in your mind.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. We got about 8 minutes left. If you'd like to get in, I'll tell you the number again. It's 474-5044. My guest is Carla Tonella. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Is this me on the air?
This is you on the air.
Okay. I wasn't sure because I'm trying to listen to the radio. I just wanted to say I agree with some of the comments the previous callers have made about congratulating you on being able to get Sunday at noon back. I'm very supportive of local news and public affairs program on KUAC. I did want to comment that I think wanting to hear more local news on, you may be kind of handicapping yourself by saying we're going to have three reporters before we can do it. I know that other stations, public stations around the country and around the state, seem to have at least some local news complement without having to have three reporters. Another idea that occurs to me is that if you've got, you mentioned the one volunteer who's giving you a hand with the borough assembly meetings, you may be able to harness some more volunteer effort in coming up with some local news production. And in particular, I'm thinking of there is a journalism department at the university, and perhaps if you expanded your student intern program, you might be able to get some assistance to enable you to put together a 15-minute local news production. And if so, I think that would be a real valuable addition.
We have been trying to expand our student intern program. We get every intern we can get our hands on. You must remember, of course, that it takes people to train those people, and you can't put together a volunteer news operation without paid news people to round and anchor the news program. I come from a station that had a very large volunteer news program. We had about 50 people, and it took four people who were paid to get those 50 volunteers trained and make it so that the program was worth listening to. And I forgot, I'm afraid I forgot the rest of your question.
Well, it was just saying that I think that perhaps for the scale of news production you might want to put on in Fairbanks, that instead of, you know, four paid and 50 volunteer, maybe one to two paid and 10 or 15 volunteers might enable you to do something.
Well, we will do what we can, and we will add as we can, but we believe that if we're going to do it, that we ought to do it like we do everything else at KUAC, and that's to do it well and as good as it can get. And one of the things that we've talked with K2 and the station in Anchorage, for instance, and they both have, one has a staff of three and the other has a staff of four. And the feeling is generally that it takes at least one staff person to concentrate on the volunteers and get them trained so that if we were to include volunteers to do news, that we would need a minimum of two people. And then that would be a very short newscast.
Okay, well, thank you for the response. And again, congratulations on getting Sunday at Noon back on. I think that's a real valuable contribution.
And thank you very much.
Thanks. This is KUAC FM in Fairbanks. You're listening to Sunday at Noon. I'm Susan McGinnis, your host with Carla Tinella. Caller, you're on the air. Question or thought?
Hello.
Hello.
Just a couple comments. First of all, I wanted to thank you for this program. I've lived in various parts of the country, and I've never seen a station that's been so responsive to its listeners.
Thank you.
And with that in mind, I just wanted to talk for a second about that wonderful Saturday evening lineup. And the question I have, well, first of all, I wanted to say that with Prairie Home Companion's demise, Good Evening, I think, has turned out to be a wonderful substitute. If anything can be a substitute. And Mountain Stage is also a very good show, and the shows complement each other. And I don't think they're in any way exclusive, but I wondered what was the rationale behind not running them back-to-back?
The rationale was that we have a locally produced program called Any Old Time that has been run by volunteers for several years, and we didn't want to move them. They had already been moved once. So it was rather traumatizing to some, and that they deserved a break, and that we felt that the Good Evening and the Mountain Stage would help keep the audience there for Any Old Time as well, too. And Any Old Time, in turn, could keep the audience from Good Evening going into Mountain Stage. Sort of like making a local sandwich, if you will.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. What I wondered also was, what kind of reception have you gotten for the two new shows, Mountain Stage and Good Evening?
Well, people are still grieving over Garrison Keillor's demise. I probably
audio
shouldn't have
demise.
Said that
audio.
Because people will take that for in a literal form. Garrison Keillor is not dead. He is merely off the air. But I think people are grieving almost as if he were dead. People are liking Good Evening on the whole. Some people don't like it. It is not a replacement for Garrison Keillor. And those people who have given themselves up to the inevitable and said, well, let's listen to Good Evening and give it a chance. Some people like it and others don't, but that's true of any program that we have on the air. But I would say it's too soon to tell for the most part. It takes a good 6 months and usually longer for a program to establish its audience.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and one word in favor of Click and Clack, and thanks again for doing a real good job for us.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
This is Susan McGinnis on Sunday at Noon. We've got about a minute and a half. We've got a caller waiting. Caller, if you'll be patient while I do the business, we'll leave the air with your call, okay? Stay with us. Funds for the production of Sunday at Noon were provided by the KUAC Public Affairs Programming Fund. Contributors include the University of Alaska Fairbanks College of Liberal Arts and Dirk Lumertzheim. Thank you, Dirk. I'm your host, Susan McGinnis. Carla Tinella has been my guest today. She's also Sunday at Noon's executive producer. Our engineer engineer today, Katie Henry, with Riley Woodford providing backup, and Robin in the other room ready to take it away for John's show. In Healy, KUAC is translated on K269 AD at 101.7 MHz, in Glen Allen on K221 BL at 92.1 MHz, in Nenana on K216 AN at 91.1 MHz, and in Circle Central and Circle Hot Springs on K219 AD at 91.7 MHz. How much time do you think we have, Katie? Thanks a lot. Caller, you're on the air.
Quick answer.
Question?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, I had a couple comments. I think this is really great that you have a talk show, and I think we need to get more information out about the community.
Thanks.
And I think this is really excellent.
Thank
I'd like to make a couple comments about your programming. I'd like to see some programming done with our senators and our representative to find out what their opinions are and what they're doing affects us. We don't really have good information about what they're doing in Washington, and I don't know how we can get that information up here.
Thanks. I have one candidate's staff, I suppose, doing some exploration with me about whether we can have a candidate for Congress on, and if we do firm that deal, so to speak, I'm going to invite Congressman Don Young to join us on the air whenever he's in town. So we'll try and do that, as well as with Senator Stevens and Murkowski. Your other question real quick?
Well, the other thing I'd like to say is I was very disappointed that we didn't have any real local coverage of the Iran-Contra hearings and the Bork hearings. I went around town, and I heard a lot of people misquoting a lot of things that happened during the Bork hearings, and I think that's because we didn't have really local coverage of the Bork hearings.
You don't mean local, you mean expanded coverage during that period,
well,
right?
Well, the hearings themselves, you know, so that people can hear exactly what was said during the hearings. I know there was a lot of misquotes and misunderstandings about how the people treated Bork, and
right.
I was very disappointed that people couldn't hear the real thing. You know, all they got were the clips on the news.
Right.
So, but I'd like to say, you know, more public news, more shows like yours. I wish that Morning Edition was on repeated or something, and the night show, Ask a Public News,
right.
I wish that was repeated. It's on a very bad time for me to hear it, and, you know, I hear clips and claps. You know, it'd be nice if it was repeated in the morning.
Well, thanks a lot. We do run actualities as often as we can in the morning. Thanks a lot, caller. We've run out of time. Delighted both Carla and I are with the responses from people today to our please call us and tell us about our programming show here on Sunday at noon. Robin, I'm going to steal a half a minute from you to tell people what's coming next week on Sunday at noon. So we know this is a subject that is of quite a bit of concern. Do you know, here's the question for the show, that more children are afflicted with fetal alcohol syndrome in Alaska than anywhere else in the world? It's true. My guests next week, Helen Haynes, Director of Health Education, and Teresa Chipota, Health and Safety Educator, both for Tanana Chiefs Conference in Fairbanks. Tune in next week at noon. Take it away, John Adams. I don't know what it is, Tylenol,
yeah.
180 or something.
No, it's better to take ibuprofen for cramps because it also cuts down on the inflammation, the way your blood vessels.